Good morning, church. It is so good to be with you this morning. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Peyton. I am the youth pastor here at Central Heights, and I just want to say welcome to those of you who are joining us online, to those of you who are joining us for the first time or for the first few times, and to those of you who have been coming for a really long time. Thank you for being here this morning on this beautiful Sunday. All right, straight out the gate, we just got to address something. Some of you have may noticed the elephant in the room, and it was time, people. It was time. And I did it. I got new shoes. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you. I kid you not, I've been thinking about that joke for 3 weeks. Yes, I shaved my head. It was shocking to see a video of me with hair. I joined the ranks of our church staff who are bald. Thank you, bald brothers, for accepting me. This is a great moment. Yeah, I see you. It's good. No, I've been thinking about that joke for like 3 weeks. I kid you not, like I was lying in bed, falling asleep, and just going, this is perfect. This is gonna land so well. And then like I tried it a couple times with friends, and you go, that's like the most pastor joke ever. And the only reason that people are gonna laugh is because I am a pastor on stage. It's like, that's just how it's gonna go. Just needed to address it. That's the way I thought about doing it. Let's get into the word. This morning, we are jumping into our series again called The Table, where we are talking about these moments where Jesus sat and had meals with his people and what we can learn from that in Jesus' life, how it calls us to live here today, and just all the moments surrounding those meals. Today, like we heard, we are going to be diving into the story of Zacchaeus, a story I'm sure if you've grown up in the church, you have all heard many times. And sadly, the one thing that most of us remember about this story is the fact that Zacchaeus was just a wee little man. Like the guy's entire life was brought down to his height. The guy, he hung out with Jesus. And we remember that he was short. Tough. But today we're going to unpack this a little bit more. And before we do, let's just pray. And actually, specifically in this moment of prayer, I'm just going to give us 10 seconds to just invite the Spirit to fill us this morning. Because he is the one who can reveal things to us. And in a story that we've maybe have heard many, many times, where maybe we simplify it to the height of the man in it, I think it's important for us to just take a moment, slow down, and invite God to speak to us this morning, because I believe that there's something in here for all of us. So let's just take a moment. Father, I just thank you so much for this morning. God, I thank you that we get to freely gather to worship you. That's a gift we often forget about. God, I thank you so much for being a God who is present among his people. Father, you are always present, but I just pray that this morning we would become overwhelmingly aware of your presence. Speak to us today. Father, I just pray over myself specifically that there would not be a hint of pride on this stage, that this would just glorify you, that these would be your words and not mine. Pray you'd slow my mind, slow my heart, help me to speak clearly. God, we're just so thankful for you. In your name, amen. So I'm just going to quickly read Luke chapter 19, verse 1 through 10. One more time, we'll dive in. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Jesus entered there, Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Whew, it's good. I just want to address one thing that some of you might have noticed in this passage, and that is actually the lack of a table. The lack of a meal. Now, I read through many commentaries. I listened to other sermons. I even watched children's videos because in my head, there's two things I remember from this passage. Like I said earlier, I remember his height. Second thing is, I could have sworn they had a meal. And to be honest with you, scholars are a little bit in and out on this on when they had the meal, but they did have a meal. I just want to clarify that because I just want to say that because we are in this series around the table. But when Luke was writing this gospel, obviously that meal, which I'm sure was fantastic, wasn't actually the central meaning that he wanted to get across to us. It was all the things that surrounded it and specifically the invitation to the meal. And so that's what we're going to be focusing on today. The meal happened, but the invitation is what Luke thought that we needed to hear about today. So today we're going to break down what I see as four main sections laid out for us in this passage, and then we're going to piece it all together, and then we're going to see how it applies to our lives today. Are you with me? All right. So a little bit of context. Jesus is on a mission. The book of Luke actually opens up in Luke chapter 4 with Jesus kind of stating his mission. He's actually quoting Isaiah 61 in this. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, if you want to follow with me. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So Jesus is on the road to Jerusalem, on this mission, proclaim good news to the poor, set the captives free, bring sight to the blind, ultimately going to go die on the cross for our sins. And he stops in Jericho. And this leads us to verses 1 through 4, which I think is the first section. It gives us the quick description of Jesus walking in, and then it gives us some pretty clear characteristics of Zacchaeus. We're just going to read through it. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector. There's one. And he was wealthy. There's two. He wanted to see who Jesus was, had a desire to see, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him. All right, first thing is this. The context of who Zacchaeus is what's going to shape the rest of this story. He was a Jewish man, so he was a Jew, who worked specifically for the Romans as a tax collector. So back then, the Jews had to pay taxes to the Romans who were over them, and they had specific people who ultimately actually betrayed their own people to collect money from them and give it to the Romans. But the way that Zacchaeus would have had to make his money is by taking extra. So the Romans needed a set amount, and Zacchaeus would go in and take more. He was a thief who took advantage of his people, who was above them and took advantage of them. The Pharisees or the religious elites actually paired the tax collectors in with the sinners as well. If you look at Luke chapter 5, Jesus has just invited in a new follower who is a tax collector. His name was Levi. And Levi threw this feast, and in the feast it says that there was tax collectors and others. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said, look, he has gone to eat with the tax collectors and the sinners. Little shift there. They were seen as social outcasts. If we look at scripture, there's a couple other people that obviously these religious elites saw as outcasts. That includes children, like we see in chapter 18, when Jesus is rebuking his own followers for bringing children. We see the poor, we see the blind, we see the elderly, we see like all of it. And they are thrown into that category of sinner. The poor, unclean people. Social outcasts. And in this passage, we have that man seeking answers about who this Jesus that he heard about was. Maybe he did hear that there was a man who was willing to sit and have a meal with him. The reason that this is important is because it explains a couple things. It explains the reaction of the crowd, which we'll dive into in verse 7. It emphasizes the weight of Jesus' invitation and the response from Zacchaeus, and it continues to point towards this mission that Jesus has to reach the outcasts. We're going to move on to the next section. We see in Luke chapter 10, verse 5 and 6, we now see Jesus' invitation. And we know based on the first couple verses that Zacchaeus was in fact seeking out Jesus. But Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem, stops in Jericho seeking out him, inviting himself to have dinner. I'm just going to read it. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Think about it. How mind-blowing would this be? The man hated by most, having the Jesus invite himself into his house for dinner to stay. Jesus was actively seeking out the outcast. And this was obviously shocking, because as we can see in verse 7, the crowd responded by muttering, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Not just the Pharisees, not just the religious elites, the whole crowd. People who were probably also trying to seek out Jesus saw this man, an outcast, and saw Jesus go to him, and they were surprised by it, and they said, "He has gone to eat with a sinner." Crazy. Moving on, Luke chapter 19, verse 8. Zacchaeus has a response, and this is really beautiful. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay it back four times the amount." A couple quick things that we're going to rip through here. First is, "Look, Lord." Exclamation point. Look, Lord. This is the moment where we can see that Zacchaeus, from an invitation to have a meal, the man who was outcast, hated by most, accepted Jesus as Lord. He accepted Jesus as Lord. He then repented. He tried to make right his wrongs. We see that. "And if I've cheated out of anybody, out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." And then he joined in on Jesus' mission to reach the poor. "Here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor." He fully surrendered everything that he had to Jesus right there in that moment, based on an invitation. Surrendered all of it. It's interesting because in chapter 18, we actually kind of have a similar story. Chapter 18, verse 18, it's the rich and the kingdom of God. We see a certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother." And that rich young ruler responded, "With all these things I have kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad, because he was very wealthy. There's a little bit of a difference here. It's really subtle, but I want you guys to hear it. The rich young ruler in chapter 18 says, "Good teacher." Zacchaeus says, "Look, Lord." The rich young ruler, who had been following all of these rules to get himself into a higher position, was completely missing the point. Where Zacchaeus, the outcast, the one who betrayed his people, got it. "Look, Lord." He had accepted Jesus as his king. And the result of that, repentance, and then he began to join Jesus on his mission. Jesus' response is probably one of the most beautiful things, because this is actually the way that God still responds to us today. He does three things to respond to Zacchaeus. First is this. He says that Zacchaeus is saved. He says, "Today salvation has come to this house." The salvation didn't come because he gave his money to the poor or because he repaid those debts. The salvation came because he said, "You are my Lord." His lordship changed from his possessions to Jesus, that those possessions no longer actually were what was ruling him. It was actually Jesus who was ruling him. Surrender to the king, the one who has a plan and has all things in his hands. He said, "You, I'm following you." Of course, repentance followed. That's how it should be. And so a response to that, Jesus is just solidifying this by saying, today salvation has come to this house. I even think it's a little interesting because the invitation was, I must stay at your house today. And then look at the parallel at the end. Salvation has come to your house. Second is this, he reminds Zacchaeus of his identity. It says, this man too is a son of Abraham. He reminded Zacchaeus of the truth of whose he was, where he came from. God's people. And then finally, he just reminds us of the mission. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. I feel like we could leave it right there. Feels like enough. But what does this story mean for us today, right here, right now? Well, here's the best thing. That same God who sought out Zacchaeus, the one who was abusing his own people for his own personal gain, is actively seeking you out right now. God is actively in pursuit of us, human beings, both the broken and also the breakers, marginalized and the outcast, all of you. Because like with Zacchaeus, God wants a relationship with you. And he wants salvation for you. And he wants to remind you of your identity, whose you are, your purpose. Do not be afraid of those things. And he loves you. So deeply he loves you. He sees the brokenness of the world and it breaks him. He loves you. And I'm not going to lie to you, church. My fear is that we, as the church, are going to be stuck in that crowd murmuring. It was, we're a 75-year-old church in the Bible Belt of the Lower Mainland, where a lot of us grew up in Christian homes in the same small community, and to be honest with you, it's so easy to forget that we were outcasts and that we still are sinners. We forget that we are people, we forget that there are people all around us who are desperately searching for truth, and it's easy, so easy, to just get comfortable in the rhythm of Sunday rather than join in on the mission that Jesus has called us to. It was just last week in downtown Vancouver. I was at a concert, and I was standing in line outside, and there was a man behind me. He was homeless, and he was begging. But not just like going, can I have some change? He was crying out. Do you have any spare change? Do you have a cigarette? Do you have anything? Anything. I remember it. Anything. In this deep, raspy voice. And I walked away. I didn't just walk away, actually. I made a joke to my friend. Forgive me, church. Have I forgotten that the same Jesus who saved me has the same desires for that man on the sidewalk? The one who I looked at and went, poor, outcast. I was in the crowd thinking I'm better than that man. I'm not. Who do you think of when you hear the word outcast, sinner? Who's that person that comes to your mind? Who's the person who oppresses? Who is the person that takes a different political stance than you? Who is that homeless man that you walk past? Who is that person who hurts you? Who is that neighbor that you don't get along with? Who is that family member that you're fighting with? Who is that person that's struggling with addiction? Or maybe it's yourself. Who in your life makes you think sinner, outcast? Have you forgotten that the same God who loves you loves them too and can in fact renew them, has the same vision for them, wants relationship with them? Have you forgotten that? I want to remind you that Jesus is in fact seeking them out. And he is the one who can change things. But we, the church, are called to be a part of that, even if there are enemies. I just want to share a quick story. This one just came to mind. I remember I was sitting in a prayer meeting, and I had a man who had moved from Ukraine, and we were just praying, and he had just said, God, you call me to pray for my enemies. And so I know I need to pray for Putin too. He got it. That's someone who oppresses his people. He had it figured out. He prayed over him, over his enemy. Jesus can save and restore. Jesus can save and restore. Zacchaeus' response gives a pretty clear picture of how we as followers of Jesus can respond. Here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. He joined in with Jesus on his mission. I'm not calling us, to give all of our money to the poor, but what I do see here is a man who, as a result of the experience that he had with Jesus and the desire that he had to surrender lordship over to him, called him to join Jesus in searching the outcasts. Because he knew he himself was one at one point. We followers of Jesus, and this is my main point, are called to keep our eyes on the trees. Because there are so many broken people in this world, even those oppressing us, trying to find the truth. Only Jesus can save and restore. But we as the church are the hands and feet. And for some reason, God is using us, broken people, to bring other broken people to him. And I don't really think it's quite as complicated as we might think. We don't have to be prepared to give a 5-point sermon every time we walk past somebody on the street. I think it's pretty simple. Simple hospitality. For Zacchaeus, it was giving money. For me, I remember I had a moment where I was really struggling. This was a couple years ago. I've kind of mentioned this a couple times. In 1 week, I had my truck written off. Tree fell on it in my parking lot. A week later, I'd gone through a breakup, and then I was really just wrestling with my faith. Really wrestling with my faith. It sounds like a country song, actually, truck breakup. But I was wrestling with my faith. Not to remove any, away from the situation. I was wrestling with my faith. And there was a guy I'd met a couple months earlier. His name was Leif. He was the leader of my Bible study, and slowly we were becoming friends. And I just reached out one night just saying, hey, this is what's happened in my life. I'm really wrestling here. And he canceled his plans for the next evening, picked me up, took me out for dinner. He sat and he listened. He drove me home, and he walked me to my front door and looked at my house and said, Peyton, you can't heal in a messy house. And then he walked in, and he cleaned it. And then he went for walks with me every other day after that moment. Simple hospitality. He saw me in the tree, and he said, I want to come have dinner with you. For me, it was Leaf. For my friend Isaiah, it was one-on-one basketball. Doesn't have to be much. Maybe with that homeless man, if I would have just stopped and acknowledged him. When do you think it was the last time that man had been acknowledged as a person? Keep your eyes up on the tree. The reality is, people, there are many of us who feel like we're in that tree here today. I've been in that tree multiple times. Multiple times. But it was because of faithful friends who saw the mission that Jesus had called them to, actively living out their faith in very practical ways, that I began to come back. Hopped out of that tree. If you're in that tree, there is a moment right here, right now, where you can accept Jesus into your life and begin this journey, because he wants to restore you, remind you of your identity, and he wants to let you know that you are deeply, deeply loved. Keep your eyes up. Imagine what would happen in this church community, in our city, if we did not join the crowd and scoffed, but when we saw the homeless walk into our church, which I hope we do someday, when we see the marginalized come in, when we see them on the streets, because it's not just about Sundays, when we see these people, when we think of those family members, when we think of those people, that our response is not to scoff, but it's to move to prayer and then move to an action, simple hospitality. I'm just gonna invite the worship team to come on out. Imagine what would happen. The Son of Man, Jesus, has come to seek and to save the lost, and we are called to be a part of that. That's it. Church, we are going to have a moment after this first song where we have prayer teams. Maybe you feel like you're in that tree. You feel like the outcast. You feel lost. And you just like, I just need some prayer. Come forward. Maybe you want to commit your life to Jesus right here, right now, or maybe you want to recommit your life to Jesus right here, right now. Come forward for prayer. Or maybe you're wrestling with that person who came to mind when you thought outcast or sinner. Bring them forward. Why not bring things to the one who can actually change them? That's what we're doing in prayer. Bring in things to the one who can change them. Father, you are good, and we love you. I pray that we would just respond to what you've called us to do in the scripture. In your name, amen.